did, scored by Ian Ferguson.
30 years on from Dundee United's UEFA Cup final adventure.
A chance for Kevin Gallagher.
Memories were made.
That's a goal for Dundee United. Yes, Kevin Gallagher.
This is the Class of 87 with Dave Galloway. On TFM.
It's 30 years since Dundee United went all the way to the UEFA Cup final. They'd gone so close to reaching the final of the European Cup 3 years previously, suffering an agonising and controversial exit at the hands of Roma in the last four. This time, though, they'd go one step further, and en route, United completed one of football's most famous doubles, beating mighty Barcelona home and away.
TFM. The Class of 87.
Jim McLean was the man who'd moulded the team into a force to be reckoned with, both domestically and abroad. Eamon Bannon loved European nights.
Being an attacker and playing in the Premier League, you basically were playing against the same guys, you know, an awful lot. I mean, we played Aberdeen 8 times in one season, so basically I'm playing against the same guy 8 times. So when you went to Europe, it was just, you know, you never knew what you were up against. Really, this is pre kind of television days, the way it is now, where you can analyse teams to the nth degree. So it was always just a surprise, and you know, really had to suss things out after the first few minutes. The guy you were up against was either, you know, he's good, bad, or indifferent. He had certain strengths.
Paul Sturrock says McLean was a perfectionist.
You know, he wanted you to play at the standards he knew you could achieve, and when you didn't reach those standards, he wanted to know why. You know, that's people. Some people could handle that, and some people couldn't. You know, so you know, he was a hard man to please.
He knew how to get the very best out of his players, according to Dave Bowman.
Everybody had the same makeup, really. Everybody had the ones you didn't have, I'll show you type thing, failed at the club. And it doesn't mean they were bad players, because there's a lot of good players, but they didn't have, and I look back, I think probably the mentality of us all, we all had the same mentality, and it was more or less like, we'll show you, like, sort of, because he was so hard towards us.
And Maurice Malpass reckons wee Jim's the greatest he's ever worked under.
I was fortunate enough. I was Scotland had Jock Steen, Alec Ferguson, Roy Smith was there. Everybody raves about them, but Jim McLean was miles in front of them, you know, tactically, his training. But his life was all about Dundee United. It was all about his training sessions. It was all about the games.
Now, there were certainly some characters in Jim McLean's squad, as Jim McAnally will testify.
Probably Bo was the biggest character as far as, you know, winding people up. And McClarkey was the same. McClarkey was a hell of a man. But I think wee Jim has started to mellow slightly since for the earlier days, Morrison and Holtie would have seen him years ago. But when me and Bo came in, we didn't have that fear of him. We still had a fear of him, but I don't think we were scared to wind him up now and again, or to play a joke on him. And in a strange way, he quite enjoyed that he could sometimes smile and have a laugh. And there was other characters he brought about the club friends he has. So that we could beat them up and stuff like that. And he quite enjoyed that. He was a bit sadistic, as long as it wasn't him.
Verbally or physically?
Both. Both. I've seen a guy tied up to the goals out there naked and getting hosed down, and Clarkey kicking him up the backside when he was naked and knocking his back out of joint. So, when we were big card schools and all, because Scotland says we were away a lot, and we used to, you know, we were close. We used to play cards and spent a lot of time with each other. So, you know, we did have a good time.
So, let's look at that amazing UEFA journey. TV presenter Lorraine Kelly is one of United's best-known supporters.
At the time, I was a reporter covering Scotland for TVAM, and Steve, who's now my husband, was my cameraman, and we actually covered every single step of that campaign. No coincidence that that's because both of us were Dundee United fans, but we did. I'll never forget that whole experience. It was extraordinary, and it was really, really good for me as well, because at that time, there weren't that many women doing football. There really wasn't, so I was quite a novelty. And I remember Jim McLean saying that I was his wee lucky mascot. And he was so charming to me, nobody could believe it. I used to smile when I came in, he would smile at me and laugh.
The players, the fans, the memories. 30 years on from Dundee United's UEFA Cup adventure. The Class of 87 on TFM.
A long road to the final, actually, all started way back in September 1986 when United took on French side Lens in the first round. The first leg was away. United suffered a narrow defeat, going down 1-0. Lens were beaten 2-0 in the return leg at Tannadice, though, thanks to goals from Ralph Milne and Tommy Coyne. Jim McLean's side had home advantage in the second round first leg against the Romanians, Universitatea Craiova. Ian Redford grabbed a double and John Clark also scored in a 3-0 win. United lost the second leg but progressed to the third round 3-1 on aggregate. Lying in wait were Hajduk Split of Croatia. Jim McAnally and John Clark scored to ensure a 2-0 success at Tannadice. And it was a solid defensive display in the return, a 0-0 draw, that booked a place in the last eight. When the draw for the quarter-final was made, United came out of the hat with Barcelona. Here's first-team coach Gordon Wallace.
I remember coming into the office and he said to me, the draw's been made today for the quarter-final. You'll need to go and watch them because we've got a home game tomorrow. I said, OK. So I went down to the office and said to the girl, right, I have to go and watch you. We're getting the door. I said, we've got Barcelona. I said, who are they playing? He says, Real Madrid. I said, oh, no, I'm not going to watch that, am I? I said, who's who of football? So I was sent over to watch that game. It was absolutely magnificent. You remember the game because Lineker scored a hat-trick that night. Unbelievable. Sitting in that director's box at Barcelona. Me boy for Dundee. I don't know where to look.
United had previously met the Spanish giants in the Old Fairs Cup back in season 66-67, beating them 2-0 at Tannadice, then 2-1 away. Now they were up against the Barca side managed by Terry Venables and featuring the likes of Gary Lineker and Mark Hughes. A mouthwatering prospect and one for Paul Hegarty to relish.
When we beat Bruce and Richard Gladbach a few years before, when we beat them 5-0 here, I think that set the sort of tone and the pedigree for Dundee United. I think people started to wake up round about that time and saying, by the way, they're a decent side. And then from that moment onwards, we started to improve in all quarters.
The first leg on March the 4th, 1987, saw a crowd of more than 21,000 pack into Tannadice. The outcome of the match was settled by a goal from Kevin Gallagher.
But the United fans encouraged as the throw is quickly taken towards Sturrock. There's Gallagher. The perfect start for Dundee United. Ian Ferguson leads the celebrations. But the man who got the goal was young Kevin Gallagher. Look at this on the volley. Riding it beyond Zubizarreta into the far corner. And it's a dream start for United.
A spectacular strike, but the debate has raged on all these years. Did he mean it? I've done a straw poll of some of Gallagher's former United teammates.
I can remember I was taking the throw and I threw it down to Lunny's feet. Lunny played it back to Kevin Gallagher and he just played it in the box. Goal.
Jim, your thoughts?
100% no. It was panic to get rid of the ball. It was a cross, there's no doubt about it. But take it.
Morris, your thoughts?
No, never meant that one. You know, I think it'd be too scared to try that in case it went flying over the bar. And me and Jim would have been chasing him down the track. And I think his comment after the game to us was it was off the training ground. Well, a few of us must have missed that training session. So you know, I think it's one of the things you delighted it went in, but. And Kevin got that much stick for saying some of the things they said about it. He wish it on the weather.
OK, it's only fair that we get Kevin's views now.
Did you mean it?
I don't know. As I said, if it hadn't been for Luggy's bad touch, the ball wouldn't have flew back at me because it was more a reaction than anything. You know, I think it was one of them, oh, it's like a hot potato. It's come to me. I've reacted with the ball. And I know people ask me all the time, you've got to come out and tell us, did you mean it? Was it a cross or a shot? To this day, I still don't know. It was a reaction that I've done. It came off my foot. It's not going probably to the place I might have liked it to, but at the end of the day, it's world famous goal, so I can't complain about it.
Honesty from Kevin Gallagher there. So the 1-0 victory set United up for the return leg at one of the most iconic stadia in world football, the Nou Camp. Before the match, Jim McLean said they'd go there without fear.
Well, I think that anybody that plays football at professional level wants to be here tonight, and in my opinion it's an experience that we're all should be looking forward to. And if you're a professional football player, then in my opinion, there's no way that you should be overawed with the situation.
And what a night it was. Barca went ahead to level the tie on aggregate, but then goals from John Clark and Ian Ferguson in the last 5 minutes secured a wonderful 2-1 triumph. United had again done the double over Barcelona. Ferguson says the often volatile Jim McLean kept his cool to help inspire the team.
It was probably the calmest I'd seen the manager at a half-time since I joined the club. The new camp dressing room was massive, big dressing room. It was a big play. We came in, we just lost the goal. I think we'd handled ourselves reasonably well. And the one thing he did stress, and we all knew, if you score an away goal, they then need to score another two. So in that respect, we always knew we had a chance as long as we didn't lose another one. So when Clarkey scored the first goal, they did capitulate a wee bit. Gary Lineker was, I'm sure, Davey in the area, Paul Hegarty said, they had a conversation with him. He says, oh, this mob will chuck it. And they did. And I'm not saying they chucked it, but we managed to hang on to the ball. We had players at that time who could take the ball in. We Paul Sturrock. I mean, he created Mago, dragged up the line, and probably Jim McLean would be telling him to keep it there and don't do it. But luckily for me, he saw me at the back post and crossed it in, so we managed to get there a goal. But yeah, we were always confident that if playing away from home in Europe, we had the style of play and the players, that if we did get a chance, then we could take it.
McLean addressed the massed ranks of the media, which greeted the United squad after they touched down at Glasgow airports.
I can't think of any team that you can, at the later stages in Europe, expect to win in one game and a 90-minute performance. I don't know anybody that would guarantee beating 3-0. But as far as I'm concerned, we love playing away from home just as well as we do at Tannadice, and the base of the team is strong in the away legs.
Paul Sturrock reflects on the achievement of seeing off the Spanish giants home and away.
To play in that kind of game is a huge thing. You know, I loved every minute of it. You know, the challenge, Ralph Millen as well, used to have fantastic games in Europe because they didn't know him, they didn't know me. Lineker said to me after the game, you know, he couldn't believe I played in the left wing. He'd never seen me play, you know, in games on the left wing before. But that was the genius of Jim McLean. He knew who to match up with against who, and who was going to benefit the team. He decided that the right back was weak and I could maybe do something in that position, and it was proved right.
John Holt says it gave the players huge belief.
It was a bit of good mentality there, you know, and okay, Barcelona had good players, Gary Lineker, you know, Mark Hughes, the boy Victor as well, but the night across the earth, we just sat in and just sat on the break, played the European style again, and those won the game.
So United then through to the last four, but standing in their way, the might of Borussia Mönchengladbach.
TFM. The class of 87.
United had to settle for a 0-0 draw in the first leg at Tannadice, but Jim McAnally says they were far from downhearted.
I think that was probably one of our best performances here against Mönchengladbach. We should have scored 3 or 4 goals that night, and maybe a couple of penalties. The referee was pretty poor, and it was a really heavy part that night. It was, and we played well, and we felt ourselves that, again, we was no conceding at home. We knew we could go there and score, and we actually went out there with a good bit of belief in ourselves.
The Germans were arrogant, convinced they'd go through, but they were made to pay for their cockiness. Kevin Gallagher.
We just got whiffed of German newspapers basically saying that the job was done in Scotland. 0-0 was good enough for them. They've been unbeaten at home for X amount of years in European competitions, and they were going really well through the season. But I don't think they've done their homework properly on Dundee United, and especially away for them. And yet again, we catch them. And then we eventually get the winning goal at the end, which fortunately enough, I was able to come on the pitch and help with.
Ian Redford scored the second goal to add to Ian Ferguson's opener, completing a 2-0 aggregate win. United were through to the UEFA Cup final. Now, in those days, it was played over two legs. United lost 1-0 in Gothenburg, but this time they also had a Scottish Cup final against St Mirren to play just 4 days before the return leg at Tannadice. Dave Bowman was far from pleased with the SFA for not pushing the Hampden showdown back. United were defeated 1-0 by the Saints.
Because we'd never won the Scottish Cup, that we got beat off St Mirren, and it was probably another pinnacle point that, like, because we'd lost to them, I think if we'd maybe won against them, we might have gone in with a different mindset. But then we started off the games and probably the paper start and you start believing. When, if you're winning, you probably don't feel as fatigued. But when you get a couple of, you get a defeat, you get a couple of defeats, I was probably two on the bounce from the away leg and then getting beaten in the Scottish Cup. It was that was when we did start feeling sorry for ourselves, or feeling a bit tired.
Could the players lift themselves for Gothenburg's visit then on May the 20th, 1987? The Swedes took the lead to go 2-0 ahead on aggregate. Then in stepped John Clark.
Good play on the touchline. Here's John Clark. Good play from Clark. And there's the equaliser! And that is a magnificent goal from John Clark. 14 minutes into the second half, showing a delightful touch at the edge of the box and then a deadly strike.
That goal gave United hope, but it was too little, too late, meaning that despite putting so much into the season, they had no trophies. Paul Sturrock says that was a crushing blow.
It was the last game of the season. We had an hour out here going round in disappointment and waving to all the supporters and everything else. The time we got back in the change room, you know, it was very emotional amongst us. You know, people were in corners and really, really down. Because the season had panned out, we could have won the league, we could have maybe won the League Cup, we could have won the Scottish Cup, and we could have won the UEFA Cup. You can't ask for any more. You know, at the end of the day, we won nothing. That was probably what was irking everybody.
For Jim McAnally, even the chance to play for his country was no consolation.
I was fortunate enough that I was in the squad, the Scotland squad, with Morris, and believe it or not, it was the Roush Cup at the time, and I think it was England and Brazil that was in the next two games, and I had no interest in playing in any of them. I did say to Andy Roxburgh, he excluded us for the England game, because we had played on the Wednesday. I think the Scotland-England game was on the Saturday, and then it came to the Brazil game, and you spent all your life wanting to play against Brazil, and again, I was so low. I actually had to play at the end up because somebody got injured on the day of the game.
Dundee United, though, rightly received huge praise for their fantastic run all the way to the UEFA Cup final 30 years ago. Some great memories for John Holt to cherish.
Disappointing, but it was a good journey for the boys. I felt as though it was a great journey. I mean, everybody stuck together. You had a crack, you had a laugh and a joke here in the dressing room, you had a laugh and a joke in the hotels away as well. So everybody was just like one big family.
Dave Bowman says it was an achievement which may never be repeated.
Very much doubt so, especially in the present climate of football in Scotland or wherever, like where the money like other countries are ploughing into it or getting for it, I think it's very, very unlikely that a Scottish team does it.
Well, that's almost it from our nostalgic look back at what might have been for Dundee United. My thanks to Arab Zone for the use of audio from the United Archives. Let's leave the last word to Lorraine Kelly.
I was reporting on that game and at the end, you know, I just remember everybody's head was down. You know, I was nearly, in fact, I was crying. I was in tears. Most of the team were in tears and that was not a great night. I still felt, though, really, really proud of what they'd achieved. I mean, you know, immediately, of course, you're just devastated. But then after that, you've got to actually take a long, hard look at what was achieved. And it was remarkable, absolutely remarkable. Of course, it would have been amazing to have won. Of course it would. It would have been, oh, the party probably would still be going on to this day. But it just wasn't to be, sadly. And that was tough. That was a really, really, really tough night for everyone. And everybody was just absolutely brokenhearted. I didn't even want to talk to the boys afterwards because I could see how gutted they were, you know. But they were ultimate professionals and still talked to me. And we still put a report together. And you still had to kind of try and look on the bright side and just say, hey, you know, look what we've achieved.
30 years on. The players, the fans, the memories. Dundee United's UEFA Cup final adventures. The Class of 87. Watch exclusive video, extended interviews, and share your memories at tfm.co.uk. Hashtag memories were made.